Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So from this first chapter of the Bible today, I'd like to speak to you about God's good and beautiful order in his creation. How that good order has been disrupted by sin and evil so that we often experience chaos rather than good order. And how ultimately Jesus Christ has come to restore what was lost in his creation in our lives. That's where we're heading today. But before we dive right in, just a few introductory words about Genesis 1 and 2. Because I'm aware, of course, that as we read these first chapters of the Bible, the average modern person has a lot of questions swirling around their heads. Questions which I'd group together as basically lots of how and when questions. How do faith and science interrelate? How long were these days in Genesis? When did all this happen? How long ago? Now, those are not unimportant questions. But I would suggest to you there's a whole nother set of questions which are even more important, and it's these that Genesis 1 and 2 really seeks to answer. These are questions like, why are we here? What is our purpose in this world? Who, if anyone, is behind this universe, and where is it all heading? Those are the deeper questions that lie in every human heart. And it's to those that Genesis chapter 1 and 2 gives truly glorious answers. One of the main ones being that ours is not a universe of random chance, but is here on purpose. If you remember nothing else from today, please remember this. That according to the scriptures, you are not here by accident. You are here on purpose, and therefore you have a purpose. You are part of God's good creation. And that purpose, finally, is to know your Creator and live within the good order he has given to his creation. So with those few introductory words, let's get deeper into the text itself and look at this theme of God's good and beautiful order in his creation. So in the first verse of the Bible, you get the big picture. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the big picture. That everything comes from God. He speaks everything that exists into being, from the smallest speck of dust to the farthest flung galaxy. It's all from him. But then the second verse of the Bible is less well known. It says, now the earth was formless and void. And that's a mysterious statement. The picture seems to be of a first big act of creation, of something rather than nothing. But then the focus from now on in Genesis chapter 1 is of God shaping and ordering this creation he has made. So first, notice he brings order and rhythm and a pattern to time. Verse 4, God separated the light from the darkness. He called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So first, we have this fundamental ordering of our time into night and day, darkness and light. And this is the most basic order and rhythm that we live in, isn't it? Now, if someone wouldn't mind telling my little boy a bit more about that, it could be helpful. He's got his days and nights a little bit mixed up at the moment. But the picture in Genesis is that this is the fundamental ordering of our time into day and night. And this was much clearer to people before electricity, wasn't it? You basically rose with the sun and you went to bed with the sun. You lived in this rhythm of day and night, and we still do that to a fairly large extent. The comment about Levi is a joke, but there's a serious point there as well. Let me give you another example Think of something as common as jet lag. What is jet lag exactly? Well, many of you have flown overseas. You've experienced this, traversing time zones and hemispheres. And jet lag is not a lot of fun. Falling asleep in the middle of the day, up in the middle of the night, losing your bearings, losing your orientation, it can be quite debilitating. So what's going on with jet lag? Well, you could say that our modern technology of airplane travel enables us to temporarily stand outside God's order of time, of day and night, of darkness and light. And what's fascinating about it to me is that our technology allows us to do it, but our bodies don't like it. Jet lag messes with you. And that, from the scriptural perspective, is just a little glimpse of how God has designed us to flourish within his good order, his pattern of even time. Now, the same theme comes up again in verse 14. God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and for years." So there's the daily rhythm and order, and then there's the longer seasonal and yearly ordering of time. And people, to my mind, make a huge mistake when they just write all of this off as some sort of primitive myth-making. Because surely we all know that the seasonal and yearly rhythms to our life are profoundly important. For us, it's summer, autumn, winter, and spring, each with its own delights and challenges, each with its own unique changing of the seasons. In other parts of the world, it's simply the seasons of wet and dry. And within those rhythms, whether it's the clothes you wear or the food you eat or the work you do, we just do better when we are in sync with that ordering of our time. Now, notice how God also brings his good order in Genesis 1 to not just time, but space. In verse 6, he says, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters. Let it separate the waters from the waters." God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. So you could say that in a somewhat poetic way here is a description of our atmosphere, as it speaks about our space down here on earth where we live being separated from what's way out there. This is worth thinking deeply about. Because here we are living on planet Earth. And again, our modern technology allows us to go out of the atmosphere into space, but we still can't live there. We don't flourish there. And in fact, modern science tells us amazing things about just how finely tuned conditions are on this planet to make life possible for us. From a Christian perspective, this is God's good ordering of things. He orders the physical universe for our good. Now, we're just scratching the surface here. You could go right through the chapter and see this beautiful order that God builds into his creation. Light and darkness, land and sea, plants and trees, animals and humans, even work and rest. There's a rhythm, there's a pattern, there's an order given by God. But what is perhaps most important to see is what comes at the pinnacle of it all. The pinnacle of the creation is humanity. Is male and female made in the image and likeness of God. We are put into this good design, this good order. And the implication is that we have been designed to flourish within the good and beautiful order God creates. However, there is a problem. And the problem is a bit more serious than jet lag, isn't it? The problem is that while we sometimes get these little glimpses in the good order of God's creation, much more often, we experience life as less than well ordered. We experience life as messy, even chaotic, often overwhelmingly so. As I talk with people pastorally or just as a friend, I often find myself coming back to this basic fact of people's life, that it's messy. Relationships are messy. Families are messy. Life is messy. And at times our lives can seem like they are going along in a fairly good pattern and order. But it just takes one moment, doesn't it? It just takes one event for the chaos to come rushing in. I wonder what it's been for you. Perhaps it's those test results from the doctor. Perhaps it's that letter or email from work saying you're no longer required. Perhaps it's that discovery of deceit in a close relationship. And in just a moment, this thin veneer of good order we've created for ourselves is thrown into utter disorder and chaos. This is our experience of life. Because the story beyond Genesis 1 and 2 is one of God's good and beautiful order being disrupted by human rebellion. Which isn't so hard to imagine, is it? I mean, there's plenty of mess and chaos in life that is due to circumstances beyond our control, but there's plenty that is of our own making as well. And the confronting message of the Scriptures is that that chaos and disorder goes right down deep, right into your heart and into mine, to those disordered desires. And that's why King David, after he had made a bit of a mess of his life, prayed in the language of Genesis chapter 1, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." And if that's where you are, if the messiness and chaos in your life have left you with a feeling even of nothingness, there is good news for you. Because as Martin Luther colourfully said, God created out of nothing, and as long as we are nothing, he can make something of us. The good news, friends, is that God not only creates in you a new heart, but in Jesus Christ, he brings about a whole new creation. In Jesus, God has acted to restore what was lost, to restore the good and beautiful order of his world. The great in the beginning of Genesis is echoed by another great in the beginning of John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. In Jesus Christ, the Creator himself has entered his creation. In Jesus Christ, the author of life has written himself into the story. In Jesus, the one who brought good order at the beginning comes to restore it for your good. Just think about Jesus' life. He stills the storm on the Sea of Galilee, speaking his peace, bringing his good order into that chaos. Think of the Gerasene man afflicted by demons, living in the tombs, bruising himself with stones, and Jesus comes and speaks peace into this man's life. And we read wonderfully, after all of the chaos, they came to Jesus and saw that man who had demons sitting there clothed and in his right mind. There is order restored. And as Jesus goes to the cross, darkness covers the land. Darkness where there should have been light, and the earth shakes. It's as if creation itself is being undone, as the one who gave life to all gives of his life. But mysteriously, in that very moment, God begins his new creation. Jesus descended into the chaos of death so that he could restore God's beautiful design and order to his creation and to you, right down deep into your heart. For God said, "Let light shine out of darkness," and the Apostle Paul says that same God has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And friends, if you're here today and you've never known this Jesus, or if you have walked away from him, please know he is reaching out to you again this very day. He wants to bring this good and beautiful order into your life for you to flourish. And it's all this that he has given to little Levi this morning, as he does to us all in our baptism. For as the Spirit of God hovered over the waters in the beginning, so the Spirit of God hovered over those waters today in Levi's beginning. He has been born anew through water and the Spirit. And if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And who knows? Maybe God will even throw in some more order to the days and nights of the Pfeiffer family from now on. Hope springs eternal. Brothers and sisters in Christ, don't settle for the chaos. Our God is a God of order, of beautiful order, in which we can flourish. You see it in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. He still speaks it into our lives today. As our responsive morning prayer service says in the hymnal, page 55 and 56, may the Lord order this day and all we do in his peace. God grant it to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.